Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
You're listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1590 WPSL. It's May 1st, 2013, May Day, if you're of the redder persuasion. And it's time for Mickey Fulp's major monthly market review. Hello, Mickey.
Hello, Kerry. I live in a red state, but I'm I'm far from a left winger.
So. Okay, so you weren't celebrating May Day? You know, they used to get together like in New York and Washington Square Park or Union. No, you know what it was? Union Square Park. Because that was where all the unions were, and they were all communist, and they used to celebrate May Day. I don't know if they were doing it today or not. Old traditions die hard, but this has become a regular monthly tradition for us. And interesting month. We're looking at the first at the major securities markets, the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, all that, and not a lot of movement this month, huh?
Well, I'll preface my remarks by saying we don't celebrate May Day, but we do celebrate Cinco de Mayo where I live. So the markets hit all-time highs, up 2% over the month. That would be the Dow and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ up 2%. Now, it still hasn't hit its all-time spike pre-high-tech crash in 2000. But here's what I've noticed. There has been no four-month correction, and that is the first time in 17 years. There has not been a 5% correction in the major markets with the weak U.S. economy. That tells me the correction is coming. In the meantime, the Russell 2000 Small Cap Index was off a little bit, but still strong. The TSX big board weak, and that probably has directly to do with weakness in commodities. The venture exchange continues to be the weakest market in the midst here. It had its largest monthly drop of 12% that we've seen in the 16 months now that we've done this show. The emerging markets, I would say, were tepid, and that is understandable considering the somewhat tepid nature of the Chinese economy at this point.
Yeah, and it looks like the advances on the Dow and the S&P, they're kind of moderating. Like you said, they've gone a long time without a correction, and it's just amazing what freshly printed fiat currency can do for a stock market, you know?
Well, that's true, but there's correction coming. I can't tell you when it's going to be, but we look primed for a correction, and as you well are aware, oftentimes these corrections can be triggered by something relatively minor, in some instance, quite nonsensical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just looks like they're getting toppy, the markets. And then we go to the metals, which was a nightmare on Elm Street, huh?
Well, the mainstream media would lead you to think that, but we had an 8% correction in the price of gold. Silver was down almost 15%, as would be expected in a volatile market. Even though the auto industry was quite strong, especially in the U.S., palladium dropped 9% over the month, but platinum only dropped 4%. A little bit more than 4%. I am at a loss to explain that, but you can now look at the ratios. Gold to silver at a two-year high. It was pushing 62 today, one day after the end of the month. The platinum to gold ratio continues above 1, and the platinum-palladium ratio was up to 2.2 this month. Meanwhile, Dr. Copper is not feeling very well right now. I would say copper is in a corrective phase. It has now reached today, its September 2011 lows. It's down almost 7% this month, and the last 3 months, we're looking at down about 12%. But that said, copper still remains above $3 a pound. I would not be surprised if it goes lower than $3. I don't think it will stay lower than $2.75, $3 for a very long period of time. The weakness is once again driven by a somewhat tepid and weak Chinese economy. But 7.5% growth or whatever it is right now would be considered robust anywhere else in the world. On the supply side, there have been general predictions that we were looking at a small surplus this year. However, we had a black swan event.
Oh, yeah.
Month, and that's a giant landslide at Bingham Canyon, one of the United States' largest copper producers. Rio Tinto is the company, ex-Kennecott. My information tells me that landslide was 165 million tons. That's pretty big. That's going to result in a supply disruption. Could be up to a year, but Kennecott, Rio Tinto knew this was coming. They prepared for it. They have stockpiled ore. However, they were unprepared for the size of it, and the greatest concern would be that this landslide buried one shovel and 14 trucks, and presumably those are the biggest ones made, and that's 325 tons per truck. But that is the real problem, is the loss of equipment. So we will have a supply disruption, and I don't know the exact figures off the top of my head, but I would surmise that Kennecott Copper produces something on the order of 800,000 to 900,000 tons of copper per year. It also produces a significant amount of molybdenum. So I would be of the opinion that this is very positive in the midterm for the price of copper, because you're taking more than is generally put in to market projections by full-time copper analysts for the year. They usually work in a 4% supply disruption. This would be something on the order of that supply disruption already this year. So I look at that as being likely positive for the copper price in the medium term.
And it produces, I think, around 5 million ounces of silver, and somewhere around, I heard, 5 or 10% of the nation's output of gold, all byproducts of the copper mine. And I don't know if you've been to that that excavation, Mickey. It's really, I was there 35 years ago, actually 40, and it was impressive in its scope. I mean, it's just huge. It feels like, you know, that's the magnitude of that pit. You just really can't comprehend until you actually see it. It's like being at the Grand Canyon of open pit mines, you know?
Well, it's if not the largest man-made excavation on Earth, it is the second largest. The Codelco people at Chuquicamata would say that Chuquicamata is a bigger excavation, but depends on how you measure it. Bingham Canyon is deeper, I know that. So this is a significant event, and you asked me if I'd ever been there. I actually worked there for a period of time in the late 1980s, Carrie. So really? Yes, I know Bingham Canyon well. Yes, it's a major event.
Yeah, and speaking of black swans, you're not going to believe this, but I was driving down the highway here in Florida, and I'm looking out by the side of the road, and I see a couple of birds, and I'm saying they're black, and I'm saying, you know, I didn't know they had wild turkeys in Florida. That must be something new. And then I got closer by. It was actually two black swans, which they don't have black swans in Florida, but they had a when they had Hurricane Andrew, it destroyed the Miami Zoo, and it released a number of black swans into the environment. And these are probably the descendants of some of those black swans that escaped. They were very kind of gentle, kind of weird-looking creatures, but they were there. So beware of the black swans is what I say. And fortunately for energy, we didn't have any black swans, but we sure did have some interesting price gyrations, didn't we?
Well, we did. And Kerry, you obviously are not a hunter because Florida is quite famous for its turkey hunting. So,
Is that right? Yeah. We had them in New York all over the place because all you needed to do to find the black swan, the black turkeys, the wild turkeys, was to plant a lawn, and they came out of everywhere. But you're right. I'm not the great hunter that I should be.
So. Yeah, well, so energy prices were down over the month, WTI off 3.5%. But the real drop was in Brent, down almost 7%. So that leads to, since we've been doing this show, the lowest Brent to WTI ratio. So that arbitrage is getting smaller. The real winner for the month was, once again, Henry Hub Gas, closed the month at $4.35. And once again, the WTI to Henry Hub ratio is the lowest we have seen at 21. But it still gets has a ways to go before it gets to energy equivalency, which would be 6-1. Meanwhile, uranium fell to its three-year low, achieved last in July of 2010. $40 base price looks like it's going to hold there. It's been that way for nearly 3 weeks now. That becomes one of these other ones. How low can it go? I don't know if you saw some of the news, business news today, but there has been lots of squawk, especially on Fox Business, about the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, now called the CME Group, the largest futures and options markets in the world, with a presence in 20 cities and markets worldwide, essentially all the commodities trading markets worldwide. It's come out that they are now have a very high frequency trading platform that can do algorithmic trades in less than 1/10 of a millisecond. And so there has been charges of market manipulation, and Bart Chilton is supposedly going to chime in on this sometime this evening. And although he is an Obama administration appointee, or at least he's survived into the Obama administration, Bart's a pretty level-headed guy and someone that I've actually met at some of these investment conferences, and well worth listening to.
Hey, and speaking of which, okay, so there's gambling going on here. I'm shocked. You know, I'm totally shocked.
All markets are manipulated. Get over it. This is big boy football, and none of us play big boy football, but it certainly affects the stock market, especially natural resource companies, and it certainly affects our own personal portfolios, so it's worth paying attention to.
Yeah, and certainly it's not what you would call a level playing field by any stretch. The big guys dominate the field, and you know, you go there at your peril, but you understand those risks. But CME Group, I think the guy's name is Duffy, who is the head of it.
And that's correct.
He was on, I can't remember the financial show, but he was saying that basically people are not trading paper gold. They're not interested in owning certificates. They want to own the physical stuff. And that coming from the head of the CME Group was pretty shocking.
Well, that's true. And I've written and made some comments recently about the increasing divergence between the physical gold market and the paper gold market. And it looks rather bipolar to me. So anybody interested should look at my recent writings and some recent interviews that I've done on that subject.
Yeah, which you can always find at mercenarygeologist.com. I just thought it was interesting. Here is the guy, the head of the major futures trading and options trading houses in the world, and he's saying people are going for the physical stuff. That's kind of, you know, that's rather shocking when somebody in his position is making that observation, so you got to pay attention to it. And finally, we get to the currencies and a little bit of movement, but certainly nothing out of the ordinary going back over the 16 months that we've been doing this, Mickey.
Well, that's true. We are at a high or a near high for the euro at $1.32 to the dollar. But the dollar index remains relatively strong, still at 81.7 as of yesterday, down 1.5% over the month. But in the history of our show, both of these still are range-bound, certainly within a 5 to 10% range at the max. And so not a lot of movement. Euro stronger, dollar index weaker. And this is in the midst of junkers come out with a couple of other quotes, you know, or they've been spread across the news wires lately. This guy is at 18 years, the longest serving democratically elected official in the world, Luxembourg PM, Prime Minister Juncker.
Yeah,
who says things like, when it becomes serious, you have to lie. And he also...
Sounds like he's been married longer than he's been serving, huh?
Well, he's been serving for 18 years, so, you know, he's certainly a politician. And probably the reason that he's continually being reelected, serving at 18 years, his other quote is, "We all know what to do. We just don't know how to get reelected after we have done it." So obviously he hasn't done it because he continues to get reelected. And that pretty much sums up the political and financial world that we live in today.
Yeah, well, when it comes to being a politician, honesty is often the worst policy.
Well, that's why Ron Paul will never get elected again. So
yeah, we know that. We know that, and his son Rand is shaping up to be a major disappointment, but we'll keep an open mind there as well. And, of course, finding your sites easy is going to mercenarygeologist.com, mercenarygeologist.asia, and mercenarygeologist.fm. Did I get them all right?
Well, you got them all right, but you forgot the one that we are really trying to get people interested in now, and that's our Twitter feed at Mercenary Geo, and we do that every day, and I think people will find information of use and some humor in it, and so at least 28,000 people do now, and we're proud of that.
Hey, well, that's great, and you can also find us at twitter.com/Kerry Lutz. I do my share of tweeting, and you got to understand that Twitter, Facebook, it's really the best way to get the message out. I'm on Facebook more than I care to think about, but I'm not like Facebooking people and looking at pictures and stuff. What I'm really looking for are good pictures to share with you and good libertarian wisdom and wit, of which there's a ton of it on there. That's what I appreciate about Facebook more than anything. So go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, sign up for the newsletter. Don't forget, you can get these podcasts automatically just by clicking the iTunes icon on our homepage. You'll be subscribed to the site, automatically get the downloads, automatically get Mickey's monthly review and our mid-month review as well. Hey, Mickey, you're going to be at the Liberty Mastermind Symposium. We're really excited about that.
I am, and I'm probably, and that occurs in Dallas at the end of June, and I'm probably going to dust off some of my early libertarian rants about hoarding and geopolitics and try to entertain our like-minded audience of libertarians.
Yeah, and hey, if you want to sign up, you can go to Mickey's site or mine, click the link, or go to libertymastermind.us, sign up for it. It's really going to be great. Mickey's going to be there, Martin Armstrong, David Morgan, Jeff Berwick, Michael Krieger. We've got so many people who are going to be there. It's really going to be a great, great time for all. And it's not like you're just going to watch people up there. They're actually going to be hanging out with you, talking to you like one-on-one, which is the way these things should be, but all too often are not. All right, Mickey, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. We'll see what the markets are doing, and keep on fracking. That's what I say. You mentioned that one article up by you there in New Mexico. The county banned fracking, although it's largely symbolic.
Well, and that's Mora County, and wouldn't you know it, it is the poorest county in a very poor state, and obviously it's a bunch of people that get government checks, and evidently they don't need to make real livings, and interestingly enough, this is promulgated by that Pennsylvania group who is working all over the United States now trying to get fracking and drilling and all sorts of energy production bans. So, and they no doubt are funded by people that don't have to work for their daily bread.
Yeah, and if that that county is the poorest in the state, they deserve to stay that way when they promote policies that are anti-growth, pro-poverty. They deserve to stay that way. And same in New York State. New York State, upstate New York, disaster area, economic. It's just total devastation. Fracking could really go a long ways towards improving upstate New York, but they would rather get government checks and government handouts than actually see real wealth be created. I'm sorry to be going off on this libertarian rant, but what can I say, Mickey? You know, it just turns my stomach.
Yeah, and let's just let the bastards freeze in the dark.
How's yeah. All right. Amen to that. We'll talk to you soon, Mickey. You be well.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Kerry.